Welcome back to Fanline at Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan. I'm Bill, alongside my partner, Rookie. We're with you all the way up to the 11 o'clock hour. The Jim Rome Show follows us here each and every Monday through Friday. We've been talking Brett Favre all week as number four is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Saturday, of course. And we're joined now by a former teammate of Brett. Played three seasons with Brett, 2005, 6, 7 here in Green Bay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Brady Papinga. Brady, how you doing?
Doing excellent there, bud. How you guys doing out there in Green Bay as the season is upon you?
Oh, man, it's getting exciting. It's getting exciting. Hey,
do you miss this time of year?
Of course I miss this time of year, but guess what, guys? I've done my time. I have frozen every drop out of the sponge, and I'm enjoying my time with the family. So that makes it where I can at least not lose my mind this time of year. I'll take you back a couple years ago when before college, when I missed the very first football season of my life back in 98. I lost my mind. I was going on a two-year LDS mission to Uruguay at the time. But since then, no, it's a lot easier to deal with for those reasons I just mentioned.
Well, Brady, when you got here, obviously you came to a Packer team that was led by a legend. He'd already reached legendary status. Brett Favre, of course, and want to get your thoughts on first meeting Brett or how you approached him. What were your thoughts prior to meeting him and then after? How did it go when you first met Brett Favre?
Things went well. I mean, we lockered close to each other as I had my locker, you know, when I came into the Lambeau Field for the first time and saw where I was at. I looked a couple down. I was like, oh, there's old Brett Favre.
Yep.
And it was you are starstruck because I grew up watching him. You grow up in middle school and high school, and all you hear about and think about and talk about is this guy named Brett Favre out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, who plays like a kid at the playground. And lo and behold, fast forward to 2005, I'm his teammate. And so it was pretty just that figure in my mind was pretty, you know, I was pretty starstruck by it. But when I met the guy and, you know, he's farting, and I'm literally, this guy farts like you wouldn't believe, because he eats gumbo. Yeah. I mean, this guy eats gumbo, I think, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then maybe some snacks in between. So you can imagine with the spices that come with that, gives you a major gas.
Yeah.
So after a while, you just learn this guy's just another guy farting around, no pun intended.
Now, let me ask you this, because you came in later in his career. There's a lot of stories about Brett Favre late in his career that he didn't intermingle with the team, the players, that he wasn't in the locker room as much.
Who made that up?
I don't know.
Who invented that? Somebody literally went out with their unicorns, leprechauns, with a pot of gold that is all somehow, you know, letting off some rainbows, and made that up. I don't know where that ever came from. I never experienced that. Okay, so he did go into the staff locker room every so often and put on his old grungy Favre golf shirt and khaki shorts that he wore every single day. Maybe he had two or three pair. I don't know. But outside of that, I never once found him aloof. It was the opposite. He was every bit as integrated as any team that you could ever imagine, even more so. I mean, the guy would hang out there almost all day through the day with everybody. So I don't know who invented that. I don't know where that came from, but it's so far from my experience with him that I don't even know where, you know, like I said, somebody's either smoking a lot of marijuana and they didn't have their blood test, or they're on some crack, or they're just making stuff up just to make stuff up.
Well, media-driven, I'm sure. The thing about it is, Brady, that we as media members, we hardly ever saw him in the locker room. We'd see him in the auditorium,
of
but
course,
he was never in there.
With you guys, yeah. You guys just would hound the guy and bug the heck out of him. That's why he has like a little press conference after. But when you guys leave, he's not any. No, he's nothing like that. He's with the boys. That's what if you ask what he missed most, that's what he missed the most. Mm-hmm. Why would he say that he missed spending time with the guys in the locker room if he never spent any time in the locker room, especially late in his career? I think he would have retired by that time.
Well, Brady, talking with former Green Bay Packers linebacker Brady Papinga, well, you're a member of the media now, so you'll be spinning some of these stories here, or having started, haven't you?
I just tell things how I see them. And if you interpret them as me spinning them, that's on you, man. But I'm going to tell you what I think, and that's how I'm going to go with it. I'm not going to make crap up, though. I'll tell you that, especially, you know, with some of the stuff that people make up that has nothing to do with the realities, at least mine. Again, it's all contextual to each person's perspective, personal perspective. But, again, my personal experience with Brett, he's never, and I mean, I can't even believe people think this, obviously, thought he was aloof.
All right, can you dispel another myth then? And this is the way maybe he interacted with Aaron Rodgers. You and Aaron were drafted in the same year, right? 2005, you were part of the same draft class, right? And so,
yes, we were.
And so he comes in, and then now there's all these stories about how Brett wasn't really fond of Aaron coming in, and maybe what we saw was, you know, their interactions were maybe a little bit of a facade that they got along, but maybe didn't get along so much behind closed doors because Brett felt threatened by Aaron. Is there any truth to that, or is that myth too?
Oh, no. I mean, Brett, he made that public, saying it's out of my contract to develop a quarterback, but I will, you know, help the guy out if he needs it or what have you. But no, they weren't best of buds. They weren't. They were more like a brother-sibling rivalry. And I talk about, I have a number of different stories in a book that I wrote called The True Spirit of Competition. You can find it where books are sold, Amazon, whatever. Right there, a number of different stories, one of which is when Aaron first came into town, and everybody sort of got hazed a little bit, not to the degree of other teams, because Brett's, his philosophy was, look, we come here to win. We're not here to haze these rookies. Let's just focus on playing ball and winning. I love that. And it's a culture that I do believe still persists today. But when we first got there, it was phenomenal, because every day at practice, you're signing some kind of paraphernalia, whether it's a jersey, whether it's a helmet, whether it's shoulder pads, not shoulder pads, footballs or something for a charity cause or somebody that, you know, who had wanted some paraphernalia that they'd sent the Packers sign. Right. And so one day we get this, you know, Favre's passing around this helmet in the locker room. We're all signing it, and he comes to me, and I look at it. I'm like, man, this does not look like a replica helmet. This looks like somebody's legit helmet. But you know what? Who am I to, like, question Brett Favre as he's presenting me this helmet to sign? So I just signed it, you know, and away we went, and I ran out to practice. And lo and behold, we go out to practice, and everybody erupted in this huge laugh. And I looked to where the laughter was coming from, and there was Aaron wearing this signed helmet out to practice. And so what Brett had done is taken Aaron's helmet, and everybody signed it, thinking it was some paraphernalia, and then putting it in his locker. You know, the training staff or the equipment guys were cool with it. They just, you know, they played along, and Red took some photos, and everybody made fun of Aaron. And Aaron's a good sport, man. But here's the bottom line, though. Remember this about the relationship between Brett and Aaron. There is no Aaron Rodgers as we know him today without Brett. Brett made him, not made him like, as you know, like it was all Brett, but he was a huge influence in the way Aaron does his cadences. You know, that was a big thing last year with his cadences, drawing off defenses. Guess who was the one that taught him that? Brett Favre. You know, a lot of his mannerisms in the pocket. And we all need to remember, too, back when Aaron first came into town, he had to retool his whole throwing motion. Guess whose throwing motion he basically mimicked? Brett Favre. Mm. So even though they had a sibling rivalry, it was still one that was very beneficial for both of the guys. And like I said, there is no Aaron Rodgers as we know him today as an elite quarterback, Super Bowl champ, MVP, without Brett Favre.
We're visiting with Brady Papinga, the former Packers linebacker. You know, I think that there's also a perception out there, Brady, about Brett that he was just kind of this guy who didn't really study well. He didn't really, you know, get into the playbook too much, or get into film study, I should say, more, and drew up plays in the dirt and went out and played him. But there's a lot more to it, obviously, and all the subtle little, the hand gestures and all that kind of stuff that Aaron does now, Brett did before him. And I just wonder, from your perspective as a defensive player, when you had to face him in practice, was it difficult? Did he do that kind of stuff to you guys all the time?
Oh, he was like a magician, man. I remember one time we were playing 7-on-7, and excuse me if you hear the speakers, I'm at an airport right now, but we're playing 7-on-7, you know, so there's no pass rush, no offensive lineman. And Brett, he goes back to pass, and he gives me the hardest pump fake you could ever imagine. And he has such big hands. If you've ever shaken his hands, his hands literally are the size of baseball mitts. And it just engulfs your hand, and I have a big hand. And so the way he does a pump fake, it's not like he does one of those little shoulder pump fakes. He literally will flail his arm, throw his arm like the ball is being released without actually throwing the ball. So one time, there's a tight end, I forget the name of the guy, it might have been Martin or even Bubba Franks, was streaking down the seam, and I was running and I was playing in zone, so I'm looking, so I see the seam route by the tight end, I'm looking at Brett, you know, going off of his mannerisms, and he gives this hard pump fake like he threw the ball, and I mean, I thought he threw the ball for all I knew, and so I turn and run as fast as I can, thinking, oh, I'm going to go chase down the guy with the ball, and lo and behold, the ball didn't come. And I turn around, and he dumps it down to the spot to where I was, and I come jogging back to the huddle, and he goes, I got you there, Papinga. I was like, dude, you're freaking unbelievable, man. What are you doing? And then he would do these awesome, and he still does them today. Sometimes he do them in games, to where it's this concept, they call it a flat slant. So they run a guy to the flat, and then they have the wideout run a slant. Mm-hmm. And you're basically just trying to put whoever's out on that in that zone or man situation on an island, and it's just wherever that guy is and talking about the defender, you throw the ball. And Brett would do the best no-look throws you could ever imagine because he knew the defense is looking at him in certain coverages. And so there'd be times where he would be staring right at the flat guy, so the guy outside, and he would throw back across his body. It'd be like a LeBron James no-look pass right across the key to that slant guy. And it's like, who does that, man? Like, nobody does that. Nobody has the cojones, you know, the courage to be able to, like, throw these, like, no-look passes. But that was playing against Brett, you know. And the thing that always stuck out about me, even when I first got there, was he enjoyed it, man. Like, he would throw a bomb in 7-on-7, you know, and it's and a guy his guy would catch it, and he would celebrate and do, like, the six-shooter thing. Like, if he'd thrown a touchdown in a game or in a big, you know, in a big playoff game or something. So it was always fun to practice against him and to see if you could beat the guy. Because you knew if you could, and you had the right to talk smack back to him.
Talking with Brady Papinga, former Green Bay Packers linebacker and Brett Favre teammate. So we always talk about how guys like Brett Favre can make players better around him, wide receivers, maybe running backs, things of that nature. Practicing against him every day and some of the stories that you just told, how does he make defensive players better? Did he make you a better defensive player?
No question. And it's because you're playing against Brett Favre, and you know if you can go out and cause him problems, pick off some of his passes, you know, knock some of his passes down, then if you can do that against him, you can do that against anybody. And so I do believe, you know, in 07 when he had his last good year with the Packers. You know, that we had a very underrated defense. You know, we were top 10, I think 6 overall in points given up, which, by the way, is the true metric of the defense. So we were a top 10 defense back then, and it was a lot because we were facing Aaron, you know, for scout team, and then Brett. You know, when we do ones versus ones, and so he was phenomenal to compete against. I mean, he was a guy that you'd always want to go out and see if you could beat because you knew that he's probably, if not the best, one of the best. And if you could do that against him, you could do that against anybody.
Well, Brady, before we let you go, I want to ask you about that 07 season because, as you said, you're coming off of they were coming off. I guess you were there too. Coming off an 8-8 season. And I don't think there's a whole lot of expected, but you guys got off to such a fast start, and Brett was key to that. And I it just the momentum kept building, and it seemed like, you know, maybe he was at the forefront of that, rallying you guys to say, look, we can do this. Let's keep going.
Well, it was probably the reverse because he's getting long in the tooth, man. He was at times a little burned out. You could tell. I remember in 06, we were driving to the Superdome in Minnesota. And I was pumped beyond measure because I grew up in the town I grew up in Wyoming, you know, with the winter and everything, watching those Packer Viking games indoors. Man, it'd be fun to be inside during the winter. And so I was like it was like nostalgia for me. Plus, I was living a dream. So I was so pumped up and amped up. And I'm in the back of the bus, and Brett is just like, oh my gosh. He's like, Papinga, do you ever sleep? So I was like, not for these kind of games. Because he's like, because he basically said he hated playing in that place because his history really wasn't very good
right
in Minnesota. And so sure enough, we go there, and I mean, we just flat out kicked the Minnesota's butt, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, on defensive, I think between us linebackers, we had like 3 sacks, tag, you know, like a bunch of fumbles for one of them was a fumble that we caused. We picked it up and put the offensive position to score. But point is I believe it was reversed to where at the beginning of the 07 season was the defense and the other guys around him that really re-energized Brett to where he realized, and even Charles Woodson was another guy in that same category where they realized, wait, these guys are better than we thought. We may have a chance to win. And so they recommitted, they refocused, and we almost did it.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. All the way to the NFC Championship game. Well, we don't want to make you miss your flight, Brady. Where are you headed?
I'm heading off to Phoenix, Arizona. I'm out here doing what, because I've become an inventor, guys. I invented a revolutionary workout machine. If you just Googled omnidirectional, omni as in all being, omnidirectional Smith machine, you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm going to give a presentation on that in Phoenix, Arizona, at Grand Canyon University.
Awesome. Well, you got to get on Shark Tank, man.
I don't need those guys. Okay. I'm already rolling. They may need me someday.
Oh, all right.
Wait a second. So you're an author and now an inventor. Well, you have
author, inventor. I work at Fox Deportes, work at Fox Sports.
Yeah.
I'm doing Westwood Radio this year, doing a color analyst work. So,
oh, are you good?
I thought you said you were spending more time with your family. It doesn't sound like it.
Well, it's a good balance, you know. But I still spend more time with my family doing what I'm doing now than if I was playing.
Sure.
So that's
sure.
The one caveat there.
Well, we look forward to hearing you on Westwood One then this season, as we'll be carrying games each weekend. Brady.
Cool.
Always fun talking with you. Good luck with your new exercise machine and your books and everything else. And hopefully we can talk again down the road. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan, guys.
All right.
Enjoy the Brett Favre week. Live it up, man.
We will. Thanks
all right, thank
very
you.
Much. Brady Papenga.